This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send praise and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those who followed him to our guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have to keep remembering not to mention the sisters, because I feel this, from what I know, the sisters are not available yet, but I think they might try to allow them to come and benefit as well. Dear brothers, last time we left off with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. We talked about that ayah, and today inshaAllah we will begin with the next ayah, and that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى taught Adam all of the asma. Of course, here I had to insert the word or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because technically Allah is not there in the ayah, but it is clear that the one who taught here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. But you don't have the word Allah there, right? But you see Adama with a fatha, so it is mansoob, so it is maf'ul bihi. So where is the fa'id? Where is the one who taught? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is immediately clear. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught Adam all of the names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who teaches. And we see that this is the case in general, because we know Allah is the source of knowledge. And in this specific case, we see, because we take it back to the first human being, and that is Adam alayhi salam. Who taught Adam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowledge has been being passed down one generation after another afterwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Rabbul Quran, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Every single advancement in knowledge that you see in the world today, and you can see that the advancement is progressing at an alarming rate, nothing like it used to be before. Now 1 year passes, and if you don't keep up, the discoveries keep coming one after another. Knowledge is being produced, or we hope it is knowledge. We might say it's information rather than knowledge. But it's being produced at such a fast rate. All of that is a drop in the ocean of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of that can be discovered or understood except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of وَلَا يَحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. So you cannot compass the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with what He wills. Here Allah taught Adam alayhi salam the names. What are the names? What names? What have you read? What have you heard? All knowledge? Some knowledge. Okay. Specifically names. Al-Asma. What else? Have you ever wondered about that? What did Allah teach Adam alayhi salam? In what language? The scholars differed. Scholars differed quite a bit. What are these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam? And why is this ayah now coming right after the verse about Allah telling the angels, I am going to place a khalifa on the earth? This is very important as well. So he taught Adam alayhi salam al-asma. And not any, not just some asma, al-asma'a kullaha. And this is what caused some of the mufassireen to go with a very broad brush. Al-asma'a kullaha, all of the names. Wow, that must include a lot. According to the opinion of Ibn Abbas, he taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things in front of him at the time. Okay? Human being, things in nature, the mountains, the rivers, the animals, everything around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him all of those names. Then there's the opinion that it is actually more restricted. That this is actually the names of let us call them intelligent beings and not necessarily things. Where did the scholars get this? From Arabic grammar. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَرَضَهُمْ. How many Arabic speakers? Regardless of whether you are a native Arab. Only? Oh, not many. Okay, some. They're shy because if they put their hand up, then I'm going to choose them and tell them, what is this? What is going on here, right? Okay. ثُمَّ عَرَضَ هُمْ هُمْ لِلْعُقَلَى. هُمْ is usually mentioned with intelligent beings, not things or animals or objects. Otherwise, he would have said, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهَا. He said, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَائِي. Another proof. أَسْمَائِي هَؤُلَاء. Another proof, seemingly, that they are عُقَلَاء. They are intelligent beings. Okay? So this is why someone like the Imam of Mufassirin, Imam al-Tabari, claimed that it was quite restricted. So he said it was the names of all of the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, all of his descendants, and the names of all of the angels, intelligent beings. And he was basing it on this. Scholars replied. It's a very vibrant community, okay, if you will. This is not just, this is it, you know, there's nothing else, black and white. And he himself answered himself. He said what those detractors will say. And he actually said, this is also an interesting opinion and a possible opinion, even though he felt that this is a reference to intelligent beings. But he said, and he gave the ayah in Surah An-Nur, Huffaz, Aman Huffaz. Oh, now real spotlight. Huffaz? Only one or two? Three? Oh, but they're hiding, huh? They're hiding. Okay. Don't worry, I won't ask you, brother. In Surah An-Nur, when he talks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything from water, Allah خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّةٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي, right? عَلَى رِجْلَيْهِ مِنْهُمْ. So he used it for intelligent beings, though they are. There, a lot of them are not intelligent beings. But some of them are. And this is why someone like Ibn Kathir and others, they said the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used hum is because most of them are intelligent beings. للتغريب. The most are intelligent, but included in the intelligent beings are non-intelligent beings. That includes all things. Asma'a kulli shay. Names of all things. Some scholars went very wide and said this is also in different languages. Mind you, this can be confusing because you and I might think, Allahu Akbar, all languages that exist today. No, that existed then. Right? A lot less. But did all languages then come from that? Maybe, Allah, this is a big debate between scholars of linguistics and how language developed. وَحَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Very interestingly, when you raise your children, when you're teaching them their first words, do you start with particles, prepositions, verbs? No. That would take quite a bit of explaining. So you start out with the basics. This is, right? This is the ground. This is whatever. This is mama. This is baba, right? This is an apple. You start with the names. It's very important. And subhanAllah, scholars of language, modern researchers are saying that kids only learn and can only learn by stimulating the areas in the brain that are responsible for speech. And that happens only when they are talked to by another human being. So every child technically is learning to speak from the ones who raised them, being their parents or someone else. And the parents from their parents, in a continuous chain all the way back to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So who taught Adam? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Furthermore, in this day and age where knowledge has become so widespread and the research and the specialization and all of this, any time you want to have or make any contribution or gain any knowledge in a specific field, the first thing you start to learn is al-asma. You start to learn the terminology of that science, right? Otherwise, there's no way to get in. You may call it the buzzwords. I can tell you from experience, professional interpreters that interpret for people speaking in all kinds of different fields that they are not specialists in. What do they have to do? They have to go after that terminology, after those nouns, those major terms, right? And understand those to be able to communicate in any understandable and comprehensible way. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. What is now the connection? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, tell me about these names. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this immediately after the ayah of إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So this seems to be like evidence and corroboration for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make a khalifa on this earth. So the first rule will be that this being is going to be a learning being. A being that can learn, that has the capacity to learn things, that has a higher intelligence. Subhanallah. Notice how, again, the beginning is always about knowledge. Isn't it? This is the beginning of the story of humankind. The emphasis, al-ilm. The first revelation of the Quran, what was the emphasis? Al-ilm, knowledge, iqra, read. And then he says, الذي علم الإنسان بالقلم علم الإنسان الذي علمه بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. الله أكبر. These are the first verses being revealed. The beginning starts with knowledge. سبحان الله. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها. آدم عليه السلام, as in the authentic hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, related by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and others, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken some of the sand of the earth and created Adam from it. And just like that sand, that soil from the earth, has all kinds of things in it, such were human beings. They also came out with all of that different variety. Okay? So, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَبَضَ قَبْضَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ فَجَاءَ بَنُ آدَمَ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْأَرْضِ. So, what came out, what resulted of human beings that were created, just like what came out of the soil. So there were very white people amongst them, white people, black people, good people, bad people, right? All of the different things that you get from the soil itself, you got in the human beings as well. And Ibn Abbas explains that the name of Adam comes from the fact that he was created from that top layer of the earth. Adim al-Ard, meaning that which is apparent of the earth, the top layer. Okay? And that's why he is called Adam. And possibly as well because it refers to a certain darkness of hue or color from the soil that he was created from. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. This first Khalifa, according to some of the opinions of scholars, and at least the first human being from which the Khalifa comes. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And then he presented them to the angels. Here the scholars of tafsir differed about what does it mean that he presented them. What did he present exactly? So many scholars said he presented those things, those objects, or those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was challenging them to mention the names of. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So, how he did that, Allahu A'lam, this is part of ilm al-ghayb, we don't know. But somehow or other, he presented them to the angels and said to them, tell me of their names if you indeed are truthful. In kuntum salihin. Right? Here we need to stop and think, okay? Especially with the different opinions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is telling them, tell me of their names if you are indeed truthful. And this is now to show them that Adam alayhi salam is better than you and is superior than you, and eventually he's going to tell them to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. The question is, what does he mean by in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are indeed truthful? You remember from last time, we talked about the possibilities of why the angels said what they said. We said that there were some scholars who indicated that the angels were somehow objecting, right? And we said that many scholars also said that this is not suitable for the angels to object. But rather, they are questioning, they're asking Allah, why? And furthermore, they cannot believe, they are incredulous about the fact that will there be someone who will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Again, the innocence of the malaika, right? Who is this creation that is going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In kuntum sadiqeen, if you indeed are truthful. Some scholars said this means if you are truthful, that this Khalifa, as you claim, is going to corrupt, spread corruption in the earth and shed blood. This is what they said. أَتَجْعَلْ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are indeed truthful, then this is what the Khalifa will do. This is one possibility. Of course, if that is the case, that rules out the possibility, please focus with me, that Allah informed them. Remember, we answered the question, how did the angels know? If Allah told them, then how can He now say, if you are indeed truthful, that He will corrupt? Allah told them. So then, that would rule out that opinion, and it would give credence to the opinion that they knew it on their own. Or possibly from, as a deduction from seeing the jinn before humanity, right? The other possibility, in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful in your request of khilafah, that khilafah be amongst you rather than human beings. And we mentioned that this was one opinion as well, and that some scholars gave credence to it, and actually you find it quite a bit as you go deeper into the verses. It becomes as if it is a very strong opinion, that the angels were saying that almost as if they were offering to be the Khalifa instead of the human beings. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَبْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Make us the Khalifa. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are indeed truthful, that you are more deserving of this Khilafa, tell me of the names of these people or these things. Okay? And there may be a third possibility, wallahu a'lam, and that is that in Arabic, you might just say that not because you're necessarily challenging, or you are saying if you are truthful or if you are not truthful, but if you know the answer, tell me. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Okay? وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. الإمام الطبري seems to incline to the opinion that this is إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful about your claim that human beings are going to spread corruption and shed blood on the earth. And the reason that is so is because, and in his inclination to this opinion, he seems to, this, I'm trying to show you that this is not an easy matter. He seems to be inclining now to the opinion that if the angels were not objecting, but this is clearly a type of rebuke or censure towards the angels, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them this. أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين, almost as if it is a challenge to them. Okay? Furthermore, he likened and compared the response of the malaika when they said لا علم لنا, he compared that response to the seeking of forgiveness by many of the prophets who committed something or did something that may have warranted seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salam ate from the forbidden tree. Did he rebel? Hasha wa kalla. He sought the forgiveness of Allah, so Allah forgave him. Right? Nuh alayhi salam asked for his son. Allah censured him. straight back, seeking the forgiveness of Allah. Dawood, same thing. Musa, alayhi salam, Ismail, all of them, when they did something that warranted seeking the forgiveness of Allah, which some scholars called a minor sin, they immediately repented. So Imam al-Tabari compared now the response of the angels to all of that. They immediately came back. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. If there was indeed some kind of objection in what they were saying, in kuntum sadiq, their response, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Subhana, glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. And this is what is befitting of the angels and of every slave servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To attribute knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even knowledge that we conspicuously gained through our efforts and through our research. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Allah permitted you to gain that knowledge. Furthermore, be modest, my dear brother, with your knowledge. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ. The Sahaba, whenever they were asked, though they may know or they may have an idea, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Be modest. Say, I don't know. When you don't know, say, I don't know. This is the humility with which you will gain more knowledge. If you're not able to say, I don't know, you will not gain knowledge the way someone will who has that kind of modesty. I remember, subhanAllah, just a quick anecdote, when I was recruiting someone, a technician. So I was asking him questions, and I was asking him clearly something that may be out of his comfort zone or specialty. And he's clearly been taught that no matter what, answer something, right? And, you know, he goes left and right, and, you know, it's all over the place. And I said, the correct answer is, I don't know. When you don't know, tell me I don't know. I'm going to be this person's boss. Eventually, if he starts telling me this and that and this and that, in his area of expertise, which is not necessarily mine, you can see how chaos would ensue. I said, if you don't know, I don't know. The famous story, subhanAllah, of Imam Malik, right? When they came to him from faraway places, asking about different questions of fiqh, possibly 48 different questions. And to 32 or so of them, he says, they're probably thinking to themselves, who's this? This is not Imam Malik. Who did we come to? We came all the way so he can say, I don't know, to two-thirds of the questions we asked. If you don't know, I don't know. It's not an insult. We're human beings in the end. If you know, alhamdulillah, you're very knowledgeable. But you won't know everything, and sometimes you'll get a question and it'll stump you. Okay? You may offer some ideas, but I'm not that sure. Furthermore, knowledge is always progressing. Maybe this needs further research from you and from others. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. It seems, wallahu a'lam, here. How much time do we have, brothers? I didn't check the clock.
As long as
you like. Oh, barakallahu feek. I wish that was the case, but I don't think so, brother. It seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, teaching the angels, the knowledge of this being is different than yours. It's a different capacity. So we cannot say the angels don't have seen. So Allah A'lam here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about a capacity for knowledge that is beyond that which has been given to the angels. One that makes him deserve the khilafah. That makes him deserve to be the Khalifa of Allah on earth, if we take that opinion about the meaning of Khilafah as we spoke last time. And ultimately, any Khilafah on earth, any civilization is built on knowledge, my dear brothers. SubhanAllah. Again, the juxtaposition of these two things. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Civilization is built on knowledge. When you are very low on the civilizational ladder in terms of knowledge, your civilization will regress as well. You will be in the very back of the very end of a series of civilizations. Knowledge and the capacity to learn is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made and gave the khilafah to Adam alayhi salam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْإِسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. This meaning, Imam al-Tabari, as he's building his argument, says, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, that you know that this Khalifa will corrupt on earth, tell me of the names of these. If you cannot, and of course they weren't able to, then on what basis do you know that which is unseen? You do not even know that which is in front of your eyes. Allah showed them the different things. Tell me their names. You don't even know the names of that which is in front of you. How can you know that which is ghaib, which is unseen, about what you are saying about the Khalifa and what his work to do? قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Very interestingly, in this day and age, when you look at what science says about the history of humanity, you see some very interesting things. And I would say some very difficult to believe information about what humanity was and where it came from. Of course, we know that this is related to what science calls the theory of evolution. They claim that our history is a history that goes back to apes and animals. And we say that the first human being is Adam alayhi salam. And they keep talking about this history, about the cavemen, the Neanderthals, the hunter-gatherers. SubhanAllah, as if human beings have been created only to hunt and gather, eat, drink and sleep. SubhanAllah, Ya Rabbi. We say, no, not at all. The first human being, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam, that you also concede to being the father of humanity, that other holy books and other religions talk about as the father of humanity, the first human being on earth, is a knowledgeable human being, is a civilized human being. My dear brothers, he's a prophet of Allah. They asked the Prophet ﷺ about Adam. Was he a prophet? He said, yes, he's a prophet. A prophet, and he was spoken to. Allah spoke to him. Allah created him by his own hands. Blew in him of his ruh. And taught him the names of all things. Another evidence for those who said, it must be very broad. Because on the Day of Judgment, everyone will say, oh Adam, you are the one who enjoys all of these accolades. One of them, that Allah taught you the names of all things. So if it was just a few things, it wouldn't be really, right? This is one of the part of the evidence of the scholars who said it is very broad. So ultimately we say, this first human being is a speaking human being. And not only speaking, he knows the names of all things. And what if we do include the opinion that it is in different languages? What cavemen are you talking about? Or Neanderthals that only know how to hunt and gather and eat as if they're a bunch of apes? Again, it is to further this theory that this is how human beings came about. Because this is the way they do away with Allah. This is the way they remove Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the equation. Allah tells us from the very beginning, عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Nothing of the sort. Allah ta'ala a'lam. جزاكم الله خيرا. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله.
This is a question, this has showed the greatness of Adam alayhi salam and malaika.
Absolutely. As we see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this to tell the angels, Adam alayhi salam is better than you and more superior than you. And eventually he will command them to prostrate to him. Absolutely. And of course it answers the question, which scholars also debated and continue to debate, which is, you know, are the pious human beings better than the angels or not? This is obviously part of the evidence that the human being is better. Okay. Yes, Allah.
Yes,
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question, a very serious question that I get asked many times when I'm on social media, during my lives, or if I've been invited to give talks at times. And this is a very important question, not just to the non-Muslim that is trying to be interested in Islam, but it's also an important question for me to finally get an answer, if that's possible. Adam and Eve were the first that were created, we know that. By the way, this question.
Alhamdulillah. No one's going to accuse you.
No, I can tell you it's unbreakable on my end. But this question is important because I get asked this question. I've got the answer.
Okay.
And Adam and Eve was first created. And then they had Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
The question that is asked, how was the population slowly growing? How was that created?
Okay, so if you have Cain and Abel, then
there's no female.
There is a female, but we don't hear about them. And this is why scholars said that because it was one family, right, one nuclear unit, so they said that Cain married the sister of Abel, and Abel married the sister of Cain, like that. So, to make it a little bit further, right? And you know, the rest is history.
The sister of Cain.
Yeah. So they are brothers, but it's possible that the first two came together. I don't know for a fact. Okay. But usually this is what scholars mention.
Yeah, I'm sorry to ask that. Just this question gets asked.
No problem, brother. We were talking the other day, alhamdulillah. As Muslims, we pride ourselves on the fact that we have answers.
Yes.
And that our religion gives answers. We don't have such a thing as, you know, just close your eyes and believe with all your heart. We don't have that.
So what should be my response to that?
I'll send it to you in writing, brother, and that way you take yourself out of the equation and you say the scholars of Islam have said this and this, right? And that's it.
I would love that very much. And it gets asked all the time to me. I don't know what to say about
it. Ultimately, clearly something happened, right? and the earth got populated, so
Because they're interested in Islam. What they're saying is that Islam ticks all the boxes.
Nice, right? Nice.
But then there are some things that they just can't get their head around, you know? That's one of the things.
Okay, yeah. So very good. When you get to the level,
so
yes,
first generation,
yeah,
married each other, and that's not considered incest.
But all we hear from, I understand, right? So I believe you. I'm a Muslim in like you, but these ones that are trying to come into the deen, even in the Christian faith, Adam and Eve,
yeah,
it's the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both of them Muslim. Yeah, and Cain and Abel, for the Christians, the same. But that's the story, stops there.
So what I wanted to say...
What they're saying is that the sons have kids with the mother. Because that's it.
No.
I know, but that's the only logical thing, so...
Yeah.
This is a question I'm glad to have answered.
By the way, what you said is very important, which
I
is... they said Islam ticks all the boxes. That means they've gotten to the level where they're interested and they feel Islam answered their questions. So, answering those more difficult questions becomes that much more important, right? Because it's ticked all the boxes and they seem to be sincere. They want to know. And knowledge leads to iman. Any man leads to knowledge, okay? It's circular. However, you will get the types who pose those questions not to know, just to confuse.
One minute.
Just to confuse themselves and you and everyone around. And in those cases, this is where you need to be the leader of the conversation. And you take them to that which is more important. This has happened to me personally on several occasions. In one case, it was a full debate about marrying four wives, as if, you know, every other Muslim here has married four, you know? And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And I said, this is useless. I said, let me ask you a question. What's your problem with my belief that there is one God? He sent the messengers for the guidance of humanity. All of the messengers came with the same essential message of submission to Allah. I took control of the conversation because I realized this is going nowhere. This is not because, as you said, Islam ticks all the boxes and they're going to become Muslim eventually. So you have to sometimes steer the conversation into that which is useful. Okay, alhamdulillah, that's good.
But it's just a question that really needs to be answered, that we need to know.
Yeah, just because you will get both types of people. So when that happens, don't get bogged down. And don't feel that, oh, they're not understanding or this or that. They're doing it on purpose because they're not being sincere.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, I know. No, brother. I'm just telling you, you might even face another situation. Yes, brother. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, Allah taught Allah alayhi wa sallam, but during Sayyidina Adam alayhi wa sallam, Sidna Hawa, which is giving birth, said to tweet.
Yeah, this is what the Imam has said.
The sister wasn't very the same twin.
Exactly.
The
sister of the other. Exactly. That's what I was saying. Is that the case? This is what scholars say. Wallahu a'lam. But clearly, I mean, humanity resulted, right? So we know something happened there. Yeah. But again, it's interesting that scholars say that, because what they're trying to say is, and this is something that is deep rooted in our deen, which is don't marry close, marry far. Even there, you marry the sister of the other twin, right? So, and this is something that, subhanAllah, sometimes you find a lot of people marrying their first cousins, but there is a hadith about the Prophet, even though it's authenticity maybe in question, that you should marry far away, not close. Yeah. And this is an example of that also. Yeah. Yes, brother.
Like Brother Vin's question. I mean, for Muslims, yes, we can say we don't have the question, this is our belief. But it won't carry for non-Muslims, obviously.
Okay.
But they are apart from the.
They won't cut it. They won't cut it in what
I
way?
Mean, I mean, to be honest, I think Muslims do not just take the. As I understand what your.
For me, the only reason I need to know that is so when these questions get asked.
Exactly. Yes.
If let's say hypothetically, I get asked that question. But what happens is that, I understand there's something
happening. Yeah, I'm talking about the question, and we don't know the intention of the question. So, what we can do is try to answer as best as we can. Just another opinion that I can't exactly remember, but in regard to your, you mentioned about human Neanderthals and humans before. There are opinions saying that, I mean, of course, it is not from totally like religious opinion or what our classical scholars. But if you look at archaeology, like a few hundred years, there's an event where there were humans before, I think. And there's like a catastrophic event, like a big...
like the flood of Nuh alayhi salam,
or
the dinosaurs if that happened.
And after that event, intelligent human civilization started. So there is an opinion saying that Adam could be like, I mean, I'm not saying that he's not, he's the first intelligent being on Earth. Like you said, maybe before that, yes, hunter-gatherers, whatever, I mean.
No, what might be the case, brother, what some people will try to say, to try to find some conformity between science and Islam, and I'm all for that when the science is well-established, but this is obviously not well-established, right? And they, you know, they keep finding things and contradicting themselves and so on. So what some of them said was that after the flood, it's almost like humanity restarted. And that's why they started talking about Neanderthals and cavemen and stuff like that, in order to preserve the idea that, oh wait, no, the first intelligent being is Adam. So how can you then say Neanderthals and so on and so forth? So they said, no, that's afterwards, you know, because Adam was the first human being. Allahu A'lam. But I can tell you, there's a lot of there's a lot in the history of humanity that's problematic in what science has today. Much more so, I would say, than in the other sciences. Yeah. Allahu A'lam. Anything else?
I just have a comment.
Yes, brother. Of course, brothers, if you want to leave, you have work, you have something to do, you are most free. This is Q&A now. Yes, brother.
In my view, we don't have to answer the things that we don't know. We don't have any in-depth knowledge in any science. So if I don't know for sure, or is no evidence, no story about it, clear story, that there's an answer, I don't have to answer. I have to live.
Yeah.
I believe. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in prophets, I believe in angels, that's enough.
Yeah.
If there is a question that, as far as I know, as my basic knowledge or my discipline knowledge, I know it, I can answer.
Yeah,
if I cannot answer, simply, I'm not a specialist in this, I cannot answer that.
Like I said, brother.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt you.
Let me just answer this part. Muslims pride themselves on having answers to practically everything, and our deen does that in an incredible way. And non-Muslims, on more than one occasion, have intimated to me that this was one of the reasons that brought them to the deen in the first place. Now, knowledge is an ocean, brother. So you may be very knowledgeable, but there is someone who is more knowledgeable than you. So at that point, and they notice this, a Muslim will say to them, I don't know, it's not my specialty, I'll ask a scholar or someone more knowledgeable. So that is with respect to, if there's something I specifically don't know, I'll try to ask someone more knowledgeable. Now, what did resonate of what you said is that there are things in the Quran, in the deen, stories that have been mentioned, where the details have not been revealed to us. Yes, exactly. And therefore, spending too much time on those details may be considered superfluous. Okay? Because we don't have those answers. We may be able to theorize, But having, debating so much, going back and forth, and Allah has not mentioned specifically how this has happened, may not be that beneficial. Yes, sometimes that happens, where people will be engaging in these conversations, but Allah did not tell us. And had it been very important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have told us right then and there. Right?
Yeah. I agree with you, brother from Egypt.
Brother, that's superfluous knowledge.
And I love you for the sake of Allah, I just want to let everybody know that. Right? But for me, I have a platform on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook. I get called to schools, I get called to colleges. I was talking at a Maybank three years ago with 500 workers. And a sister, Islamic sister, asked me a question based on a Christian friend and how to address it. Now, I had knowledge of that. So I addressed it, said, sister, when you talk to the Christian sister, don't mention the Quran. She knows nothing of it. When you speak to her, speak based on the Bible, like I did. So I explained to her, tell her Jesus Christ said, don't worship me, I'm not your Lord. That's in the Bible. Tell her that. So engage with her in regards to the Bible. Now you've got her interest, you know, you've got her attention. So what I'm saying, brother, if I don't have the answer, it's my duty as a Muslim, and everyone's a Muslim, to say, look, I don't know, but I'll contact a sheikh or a scholar, and I'll get back to you. Because I have to, I can't just brush it off, number one. Because then it's on me, right? And I'll tell you there's a hadith about this. I'll get to that in a minute. And so I have to act on it. Or I can say, look, here's the number of a brother of mine, he's well learned. Tell him that I sent him. So you've still addressed the question, right? So if I have knowledge on it, I'll answer it. But there's been so many times, I mean, they've asked me this question about Adam and Eve and Abel that I haven't got the answer to. Now, I just want to share this hadith with everyone. Share it as possible, please. Right. There's this hadith that our beloved Rasulullah teaches, right? And when I heard this hadith, authentic hadith, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not... learned on hadith or anything, but I'll try to keep it brief. I got very scared, very, very scared. It just shocked me because of the Allah's command in regards to this one Muslim that prayed his whole life and worshipped Allah his whole life. He could not fault him. So Allah called his angels and said, go down to this town in the city and destroy everyone. And everything. The angels went down there, and you know, a few of them were pretty much destroying everything, but they were scratching their head. They were created to worship Allah. They're not going against Allah's command. But they went up to Allah and said, yeah, from this house there was so much nur. You know, you've got two angels on both sides, right, the left, right, and everything. You've got an angel that is a guardian. They're all talking to each other pretty much. Let's be logical about it. So they could, this old man prayed every day, sunnah, fasted, did everything possible. It was almost perfect, you could say. But we know that Rasulullah was perfect. So they couldn't fault him. So they said, yeah, Rasulullah, we're not questioning, we just want to know. This 1, 2, 3, Allah with anger said, start with him first. With anger, Allah said, start with him first. Why? Because he kept all his deen to himself, his knowledge to himself. He never went out of the house and contributed to the community. So they can be blessed for the day of judgment. So he destroyed him first. So what I'm saying is, I agree with you. If I haven't got the answers, I can't answer. But this question has been asked so many times. Whenever it's a scholar in the present, I need to ask and get an answer, because I know that one day I'm going to get either questions by Allah on the day of judgment if I don't do something about it, or if this question is asked me again, at least I've got the answer. Okay?
I think that's what we need to.
Yeah, no. Let me just say one final thing, because the brother said quite a bit there. As far as I know, the reason is not because he did not spread his knowledge, but rather because he saw that which is to be objected to, and he stayed quiet. Right. So, essentially, when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is destroying an evil people, and there's someone good amongst them, and they are pleased, or they do not engage in amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'anil munkar, this is why he said start with him. So this is the importance of an amr bil ma'ruf and enjoining good and forbidding evil. not so much the issue of spreading knowledge, though, you know, of course that's most important. As far as the issue you mentioned, brother, about starting with the Bible, I just want to mention that sometimes that's not always the wisest thing. Yes, sometimes it's important to show them that your own book says that which contradicts what you are saying, absolutely. But don't always feel that you have to argue with them with their own holy book, because a lot of times they already know their holy book back and forth, you know, from cover to cover, or maybe they don't. But either way, they're done with that. Give them something better. Let me finish what I'm saying. And the example I like is, for all practical purposes, because sometimes that will increase their argumentation, they will not be convinced more. Why? Because they have something, they're holding on to a rock. It's not a particularly nice rock. In fact, kind of an ugly one, okay? But, you know, what's it to you? It's my rock. I like it, okay? So you come to them and you start saying, hey, what do you want with this rock? Why are you holding on to it? Throw it away. It's my rock. You know what you want. So instead of telling them to throw away the rock, come to them and say, here, I'm going to give you a diamond. Get rid of your rock. You see?
No, but shit, come with
rock. So at that point, they might be like, look at this, you know? So sometimes, they're so entrenched in the Bible, you come now, and you hear all of that, and you let it in one ear and out the other, and you start telling them about what the Quran says, and it's like a whole new world has been opened up to them.
I was born in Canada, so when they...
I understand.
Yeah, so when they're engaging me on the live,
yeah,
they're curious to how did you become this Muslim and stuff like that. So I have to tell them the Bible.
It's been really exciting and very good discussion. And also, we have to, you know, as you promised,
we have to eat
Jama'at, you know.